you'd bless. God, your will be done. God, we could leave, Lord, being different, God, from how we come in. We love you, God, and we thank you for all you do for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to preach for just a little bit about this certain man right here who was lame from his mother's womb. And I preach on this thought here tonight, from lame to lifted. He asked for gold, but he got grace. Hey, instead of silver, he got salvation. You know, in this old world right here, there's people running to and fro, seeking the things of this world right here. But you know, one of these days, whatever a man acquires in this old world, whatever riches, whatever land, whatever houses he may have, he's going to leave it all behind. And all that matters in the end is that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, if you know that your soul has been saved, that you've got a home in heaven, because we're all going to leave this old world one day. And I'm glad tonight I've been saved. I'm prepared for that day when I leave this old world. Now I want you to notice in chapter number 3, there's a meeting that takes place. A meeting that takes place. In verse number 1 says, Peter and John went up together into the temple, the house of God, a place where the presence of God was present. And you know, I'm thankful that we've got a house of God right here at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. But I'm reminded through the scriptures tonight that the temple of God is here in me. And the Lord abides within. This is just a building right here. It's the most beautiful place in Bowdoin, Georgia. It's the place where the people of God can come together and worship God. But let me tell you, and it's a blessing when the presence of God's here. Amen? But let me tell you, it's just an empty building unless this temple right here has got the Lord God magnifying himself within it. And I'll tell you something else about this temple right here. If God's going to dwell within it and I'm going to feel his presence and his power, I'm going to have to keep this temple cleaned. Amen? I ought to reverence what God has done within me. Hey, and you too, if you're a child of God. We ought to reverence this place right here. It's a place that people have sacrificed, gave their tithes, they worked, and they prayed and provided a place right here for us to come together. Look about what God has done for us. Amen. Ain't it God amazing? He's amazing what he's done for us and given us a house of God and setting us in the old paths right here at this place to show our children and our grandchildren that our Redeemer lives. And he lives within, and he'll meet with us down at the house of God if we'll just come in here cleaned up and ready to meet with him. The church represents the presence of God, and it is the pillar and ground of truth. Amen? We ought to be careful that we always stay lined up with this Bible right here at Liberty Baptist Church. Amen. You say amen right there, because there's too many places today that's wandered off the old paths, that's got into the entertainment business and the different things like that to draw great crowds within. But let me tell you something. It takes the Word of God, it takes the truth of God to go out and convict man and to get them saved. Amen. So notice in this meeting that takes place, the temple, the house of God, but the timing, it's the ninth hour. A timing of prayer. The time of prayer. They were faithful men, and it was an hour to gather together and pray. Let me tell you something. It's still, in the day that we live, it's a good time to gather together and pray. It's a good time to be faithful in the assembling at the house of God. He told us in the book of Hebrews to forsake not the assembly, didn't he? But so much the more as we see the day approaching. I appreciate you being here tonight at the house of God on this rainy and rough night outside. And we're not to forsake this thing of assembling ourselves at the house of God. The temple, the timing at this place right here, there's a transition that was taking place. A transition taking place. The temple was the place where they'd come together. In the Old Testament, they'd have a high priest there. He would make sacrifices for himself. He would make sacrifices for the people. He would go into within the veil, the Holy of Holies there, and he would put the blood there, sprinkle the blood upon the mercy seat for the sins of himself and for the people there. But this transition that's taken place, when Christ gave up the ghost on Calvary's cross, the Bible says that the earth shook. and that the veil of the temple was rent from the top to the bottom, and it opened up a new way. Now we can go into the holy of holy place. We have a throne of grace tonight that we can approach boldly, and we don't have to go through a high priest somewhere. When, although we do have a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can approach boldly. We can go in and we can call upon him, and we can find mercy and grace to help us in time of need. So there was a meeting that takes place here. Peter and John goes into the temple. And let me tell you, things was about to pick up as they got there. But notice not only the meeting in the place, but the ministers that were present. Peter and John, they were preachers. They were not priests, but they were preachers. God called, Holy Ghost filled men of God. They were faithful men, and they had a purpose. And they were faithful in prayer. They were faithful in their preaching. And things will pick up when a man of God is faithful in these areas. Amen? In his presence, in his purpose, in his preaching. Amen? You know, I thought as I was studying this right here, Brother Ken, I thought back when I was coming up as a lost man. I remember some faithful preachers. Hey, they scared the devil out of me. And just to be around them, they scared me. But you know what? They had the power of God upon them. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. And just to look upon them, just to talk to them, it made me nervous, because a Holy Ghost conviction would come upon me when I got around them. Oh, I thank God for preachers tonight. I'm talking about real preachers. I'm talking about God-called preachers. I'm not talking about preachers that took upon themselves that they'd take it on to a profession and a place for them to have a job. I'm talking about real men of God, the ministers that were present. But then in verse 2 and 3, you'll find a man with a problem. It says, a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This man was lame. He was afflicted. He was in agony. He was separated from those that were inside the temple there. It's a great picture of somebody that's lost, isn't it? Amen? Lame, afflicted, afflicted by sin. I remember when I was in that condition in my life, searching for things of the world, things to bring pleasure, things to bring happiness. But you know, the things that I tried out in this old world, the joy and the happiness, it was just for a time. Then it would pass away. Then you'd have to go to something else. The things of this old world don't satisfy. Never will it satisfy a man's true needs for his life. This man was lame. He couldn't get up. He was laid there at the gate of the temple every day to seek things that would be like money, or maybe it was food, whatever anybody would give him there. But those things were just given to him on a daily basis. You know, the next day he'd need the same things over and over again. But I'm glad when God saves somebody, it's a done deal. Amen. He saves and he satisfies. You never have, once God has saved, you never have to worry about dying and going to hell again. Boy, what a blessing that is, to be able to lay down your head at night and know that if the Lord takes you out during the night, that you'll lift your eyes in heaven, not in hell. Amen. That's a blessing to have that satisfaction, to have that peace within your heart. This man with a problem, he was lame. He was laid at the Beautiful gate there daily. And he was looking. He was looking. But he was looking for the wrong things. You know, people today, the devil's got so many things to offer today, hasn't he? There's people that are on drugs, thinking it's going to give them peace. There's people on alcohol looking for peace and for things that satisfy this old flesh right here. But I'm telling you, it's a pathway to destruction. This man was lame. He couldn't stand upon his own two feet, and he was like that from his mother's womb. That's the way a lost person is. You come into this world, you're conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity, and you're a sinner in need of salvation. We all have Adam's bloodline, and we all need to be saved by the goodness and grace of God. So we see a picture right here of a lost man, but he was a lame man. And he was looking for help through worldly things. And how sad that is today. I mean, you could have given him all the silver. You could have given him all the gold of Fort Knox, and he'd still been a lame man. He'd still been laying there without any hope. He needed somebody to pick him up. He needed somebody to carry him there on a daily basis. And what a sad picture it was for this lame man right here. I don't know. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us how old he was. It doesn't tell us, his age. It doesn't tell us who his mother, his father was. It just says that he was laid there daily. It doesn't say how many years, how many days, day after day after day he'd been carried there. But really, he was getting no help for his life, for the true things that he really needed in his life. Not only this man with a problem here, but notice a miracle that's performed in verse 4 and 6 right here. Notice 4 through 6. It says, "And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, 'Look on us.' And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them." You know, Sunday after Sunday, I wonder, you know, there's folks that pour in this house right here, Brother Ken, and in churches across the country, different places. I wonder what they really looking for. I wonder what they really need in their lives. You know, I remember when I was lost, sometimes I'd go to the church. You know, I was looking to see what people really had. I was lost, and I'd been to church some as a young boy, and I'd seen people filled with the Holy Ghost, and when God would get on them, it was an amazing sight to see a saint of God get up with the power of God on them and testify and shout. And boy, I was looking for something that was real. And you know, and within myself, I knew I didn't have what they had, but there was something about me that wanted it, but I just didn't know how to get there. I was like this lame man. I just couldn't get off the floor myself. I was lame myself. But I notice here there's a miracle that is performed. This old boy right here, he was lame. He was low as a man could get. He was lost, but he was loved. You know, I wonder how many people walked by that man going into the temple that day, and him there, maybe he had a pan or something sticking out, you know, and some people may have just walked on by. Some people may have thought, you know, thrown him a coin into there. But Peter and John, when they walked by and he asked an alms of them, I think Peter stopped. He said, "Look on us. Look on us." Can I tell you something, Brother Tim? There's people looking at you. There's people looking at you. You're the choir director at Liberty Baptist Church. Sister Sherry, y'all, everybody sitting on this front row right here, as people looking at you, as leadership in Liberty Baptist Church, make sure they see the right thing. Amen? And that's a big statement, ain't it? That's a big statement, because we're flesh. But let me tell you, we're ambassadors of Christ. Not just us in leadership, but everybody that professes the name of Jesus. You're an ambassador of Christ. And I guarantee you, it may be a grandchild. It may be a cousin. It may be a neighbor. Hey, it may be a classmate. But there's somebody looking at your life. And what a bold, confident statement Peter said when he said, "Look on us. Look on us." I've got a story to tell. I've got something that you need. And I want to show my Lord and Savior to you with my life, with my testimony. I've got a story to tell. And let me tell you something. Just as this miracle is about to be performed right here, Peter, you know, he not only saw a lame man, but most of all, he saw a lost man. You ever been out in a crowd somewhere, maybe it's at a ball field or just somewhere where there's a crowd of folks. Maybe you've seen a big ball game on TV where there's 100,000 plus people. You ever thought about, I wonder if how many saved people's in that crowd? That's crossed my mind many, many times. It's a sad thing to know that the majority of people in this old world dying and going to hell. Enter ye in at the straight gate. Amen. For straight's the gate and narrow's the way that leads to life. And few there be that find it. Boy, what a sad verse in the Bible, isn't it? But listen to me. You may be the one that can lead somebody, point them to that gate. Look on us. Look on us. God help us. When they look at us, God help us to be looking at them, to be a help to them. Amen? And leading them in the right path. Now look what Peter said right here. This man was expecting to receive silver and gold from them. But Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." I wonder what that fellow was thinking when he made that statement. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I wonder if he'd ever heard the name of Jesus before. There's no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. His name, God has given him a name that's above every name. That at the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every knee is going to bow one of these days. And every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord of lords and King of kings. Listen, all these folks that deny him in this world today, all these God haters and Christ rejectors, they're going to fall before him one day, but it'll be too late. He's Lord of lords and he's King of kings. And I'm glad, thank God, I bowed in this life to him. Thank God I bowed before it was too late. At the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Notice this right here. Not only this miracle that's performed, but there's the miracle that's anointing. And Peter says, the Bible says in verse number 7, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and the ankle bones received strength. Let me say something right there just a minute. It don't hurt to lend somebody a helping hand. A person that gets saved, maybe it's a young person, maybe it's middle-aged, maybe it's an adult. But give them a hand. They got a lot to learn. Let me tell you something. They're going to stumble and fall. Don't push them down, but lift them up. Amen? I'm not perfect, and you're not perfect. And let me tell you something. We're prone to sin. We're prone to fall. Let me tell you something. I'm thankful that when I find myself falling, Jesus don't push me down. But he's there with a hand willing. If I'll just confess, he's faithful and just to forgive me and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And there's no reason for us as children of God to put one another down. We need to lift each other up. And there's times in our lives when we'll be down and sin will get into our lives. We'll fall short of the glory of God. But there ain't no time to kill each other. It's time to help one another. Amen? This miracle's anointing is what I'm talking about right here. Notice this in verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking, leaping, and praising God. And I'm talking about this miracle's anointing. When Peter reached down and lifted him up, his worship changed. He was no longer on the outside, but he went into the temple. I remember when I was lost, I was happy on the outside most of the time. Unless I got weird about dying and going to hell, then I wished I was on the inside. But I was like that lame man. I couldn't get in. I didn't know what it was like to be in. He didn't know what it was like to be in. But once he got saved right there, it changed his total life. He was able to go in. Them old saints of God that I used to see testifying, Brother Ken, that I really noticed in that they really put fear on me.
Now I know what it's like. I know what it's like to have the Spirit of God. I know what it's like. Hey, he said that, notice what it said right here. He leaping up, stood. There's been times when I've been sitting on the pew and the Holy Ghost get on me and I'm on my feet before I know it. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost will do for you. He'll prod you, he'll fill you, he'll thrill you, and you'll jump up and you'll give glory to God and give praise to God for what he's done for you in your life. And you'll realize, you'll look around and you'll say, what in the world have I done? Amen. But it's all right to praise God. It's all right to just get beside yourself sometime and be thankful, amen, for what he's done for you in your life. You ain't got to die and go to hell. You can enjoy the good presence of God and the things of God. We can come together and worship him, amen. Church ought not to be dead, and we ought not to be dead. If church is dead, look in the mirror and see who's dead. Amen. I don't care if everybody in the house is dead. I ain't got to be dead. I got a lot to be thankful for. Amen. Don't sit around waiting on somebody else to jump up. You jump up. Amen. Well, we're good at quenching the Spirit of God, ain't we? Amen. Ain't nothing no more miserable in life than to go to the house of God, quench the Spirit of God, and then leave, and then have him grieved in your heart. Amen. It's miserable, ain't it? Man, I wish I'd have done what he told me to do. I wish I'd have testified. Boy, you ever sit in church in your testimony meeting and your heart's about to pound out of your chest and you sit there hanging on to the pew, and then the service changes and then boy, you just grieve. Your day is ruined. Y'all ever had a ruined day?
Yes, sir.
Amen. This old boy right here, his life changed that day. He went from the outside to inside. His wants changed. His walk changed. I'm glad God changed my walk. When I was lost, I was walking according to the course of this world. I was walking in this direction, feeding off of the things of the world, heading toward the devil's tail. But when God changed me, when he saved me, he changed my walk. Now I'm walking with him. He's walking with me. Sometimes he has to slap me pretty good to keep me walking straight. But he knows how. I'm his child. He knows how to chastise me. He knows how to correct me. Keep me walking in the straight and narrow way. And I thank God for that. I thank God for his presence. His witness changed in verse 9. And all the people saw him walking. Listen to that now. All the people saw him walking and praising God. He had something to be thankful for, didn't he? Amen. He had a lot to be thankful for, didn't he? Can I tell you something? If you're saved, if you've been born again, you got a lot to be thankful for. Let me tell you, we're not promised tomorrow. We could leave this old world before morning, or Jesus could come back before we walk out these doors tonight. And I'm glad I got my eternity settled. This old boy, no wonder. He was a walking and praising God. The miracles anointing. But notice the miracles amazement. Lastly, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed, hail Peter and John. All the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. They were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. You know, when you get saved and your life changes, All them old folks you used to run with, they run from you then. But I got to feel like they're probably amazed at what God's done in your life to change your walk. And all these folks that had been spent days and years walking by this old lame man, and now he's up on his feet walking and praising God. A great miracle has taken place in his life. Let me tell you something. If you're a born-again child of God, there's a miracle that took place in your life. The Holy Ghost sought you out, convicted you, drawed you to a place of repentance and salvation, forgive you of your sins, come in to indwell forever, give you a home in heaven. Now you ain't got to worry about dying and going to hell. What a miracle has taken place in our lives. We ought to be like this old lame man, leaping and walking and praising God. Amen. We got a lot to be thankful for. From lame to lifted. Glad I've been saved. God's grace is still amazing, isn't it? Amen. That He would reach out and save a wretch like me and you. His grace is amazing. Thank you for your attention tonight. I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate the privilege.